walk around here and still with our head hanging down. But guess what? God is saying, take your anointing and get your anointing all over your face. Come on, get your anointing from, you need to get your mind. Why did he put the mantle on his head and wrapped his face in it? Because sometimes you got to understand that the enemy attacks what's in your head and what's in your face. So he said, I got to get the anointing in the place where the enemy is attacking me. I know this mess is just in my head. I know it's the devil putting thoughts in my head. I hear voices in my head, something telling me to do something else when God says do this. I got to put my mantle on my head. And when he wrapped his head or his face in his mantle, he went out. And see, we can't do anything until we get under the anointing of God. We can't get in God's presence unless there's an anointing. We can't just walk up boldly and say, you know what, I'm here, God. No, we got to go under the anointing. So how do
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings, faithful followers and listeners of Dr. John E. Montgomery II and the Movement of Christ broadcast. For the entire month of January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's 66th birthday and his 37th pastoral anniversary. And we are extending an opportunity for you to be a blessing to this great man of God. Surely this broadcast has blessed and encouraged thousands over the years and even brought many to Christ. Glory to God. If you are one of the many blessed by this broadcast, we ask that you seize this opportunity to be a blessing. Simply call our corporate office during business hours at 225-927-0577. 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577 for details. And if you are in the Baton Rouge area, please join us for the celebration on January the 25th at our 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. services and meet the man of God that has blessed you for years. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will. I won't be long before you. As an 8-word text found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And as you're turning there, I want you to prepare to read with me today, and we will move further into the message. you have it, say amen. Let's begin reading now. For. Amen. You may be seated. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Eight power-packed words for the believer to live by. I want us to look at these words, and there are three words in particular. The first one is walk. Walk. For we walk. Paul is talking to the believers, talking about children of God, those who are born again of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. He's talking about when he says walk. This is a word that is enlarged to entail the course of life. It's the course of life. He's not just talking about one event or one instance, but he's talking about the matter of life. For we believers have as a resolve that our walk is going to be a walk that God would have each and every one of us to participate in as it relates to the instructions of his word. What is interesting about what Paul is saying here is he's making clear that as a believer, we are walking here, but our walk here is reflective of heaven there. Our walk here is reflective of our relationship with Jesus there. Our walk here is reflective of the light that has lit our light that shines in a dark world. And our walk is not our walk, but the walk that he desires and demands from the believer to walk. So one of the things that I think it's important for you to understand is when we say we walk, 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 that means every step we make should be influenced by the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. When we walk, that means every step we take, we represent someone else other than ourselves. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit who resides on the inside of us. When it says, for we walk, it's step by step being ordained by God. For the Bible says, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, what's important for us to understand is, if we belong to him, so does our steps. So do every step we take belong to him. We've got to walk like we're walking for the king. And a whole lot of us don't understand. We miss the fact that it's not a walk that we choose to walk when we feel like walking. It's a walk every step of our lives. Now, the next word says, by faith. Faith. This comes from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it literally means persuasion, by credence, and by conviction of character. It literally means concerning the word of God and salvation through the Son of God. So our faith, listen at this, is a faith that is persuaded by God. In other words, the faith that we have comes from the word of God. Again, it comes from the will of God, and it comes from the way of God, which influences the way we walk. We recognize that we walk by faith based upon what God has said, what his instructions are, what his desire is. And if we understand that that faith is a greater influence upon us from a divine source, then that means we can never have a faith that displeases God, since it's God who is the one who is given us the faith. And that means if he supplies the faith, he supplies the faith to do what he wants us to do. Bible says God has given to every man a measure of faith. So no man can say, well, I don't have faith. No, what you can say is, I don't have faith in God. I've chosen to put my faith somewhere else, in someone else, in something else. But we can't say we don't have faith. So the question becomes, if it is the faith here mentioned in the text, then it is a faith of persuasion. God persuades me to do the right thing by his word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I hear the word of God, I'm persuaded to be better because the word speaks that way to me. I'm inspired and influenced to do better because the word speaks that way to me. I'm influenced to become what God wants me to become because the word influences me that way. And so when we look at this faith that gives us the reality of understanding everything that we do by faith has been inspired and influenced by God. That's why it's important for you, my brothers and sisters, to understand that when we trust God and believe God and surrender to God, God shows us what he could do with an ordinary life. He shows us that if we would yield ourselves to his word and then begin to practice the principles of his word, that we will have what his word says. If God has made clear he's no respecter of persons, then how can I get what the people in the Bible had? By doing what the people in the Bible did. They heard the word, they believed the word, they acted upon the word. And because they acted upon the word, they received what the word said they would have. God's word hasn't changed. God himself has not changed. But God's people may not believe the same. You remember Jesus said, went to his own hometown and couldn't do no great works there. It wasn't because his power diminished. It wasn't because he didn't like the people in his hometown. The reason he could do no great miracles there was because of their unbelief. They did not have the persuasion of faith. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. Now I'm halfway through right now and y'all still hadn't gotten with me yet. But I'm going to go on and preach this if I got to preach it all by myself. I'll just get through quicker. Now listen at this. Listen at this. If we are to walk by faith, then that means very simply that everything we do must find its influence coming from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost as a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Just look at some of the things faith covers in our life. We walk by faith. The just live by faith. The believers speak by faith. God's love and salvation through Jesus came through faith. Healing comes through faith. Deliverance comes through faith. Listen, death even comes through faith. And resurrection comes through faith. When you begin to look at how many things in life faith touches, it touches every part of life for the believer. So that's why faith is so important, and why God says in his word, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is whatever you need. And not only is he whatever you need, but he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means if you know God's got it, then why are you looking to any other source? If you know God is the one and the only one, if you let other folks step in his image, in his light, in his space, and try and convince you otherwise. If God is the one and the only one, you should be seeking him. And the last part of this text says, and not by sight. Scratch off the "and" and just say, not by sight. Not by sight. Do you know how much of many of our Christian walk is by sight? The diametric opposite of what the Lord Jesus wants us to walk by. It's what we see that we're moved by, that we feel, that we think by, that we get our approval by. It's what we see in response to what we say that tells us we were either successful or unsuccessful. It's what we see when a person looks at us that we determine that they like us or they don't like us. It's what we see that determines whether things are going good or they are not going good. Don't you know, as a child of God who walks by faith, the Bible says you're light. That means when you walk in the darkness, you are to change the darkness in the light. You don't blend in with the darkness. Too many Christians right now are slipping. Yeah, go back a little old school on you. Slipping in the darkness when you are meant to be the light that dispels the darkness. Jesus said not only that, but you're salt. That means salt changes the flavor. It seasons our food. It makes it taste different than what it would have tasted without it. In other words, it's like the thermostat in the room. Whether it's too hot or too cold, you have the ability to adjust the temperature in the room because of who you are. But we'd rather go in the room and shiver and shake. Ooh, it's so cold in here. We'll turn the temperature up. Oh, y'all so cold. Then you get to acting cold just like them. Mm. Don't speak to me, I ain't speaking to them. I mean, you reflect them rather than reflecting him. When he has called you to be the one who changes the temperature in the room, the atmosphere in the room, the flavor on the plate, you have that ability. Not only that, you have the authority according to Jesus Christ and the Word. And so until we represent him the way that we represent him through faith, not sight. Our problem is through sight we see too much. Too much that can mess us up. I will admit that all of us at some point in time have been influenced by sight rather than faith. David, the king of Israel, y'all know all too well, was out on his veranda one evening and beautiful young lady was bathing in the pool. My question is, what was she doing there anyhow? That looked like a setup from the first. And David looked and looked again and started staring. And before you know it, he used his authority, told one of his men, go get her. I got business with her. And before you know it, he sinned first with his eyes. The lust of the eyes. He saw something he wanted. Now, before we judge David too harshly, how many of us, you know, have picked mates or significant others based on the look? Come on, don't act all holier than thou. Everybody wants what everybody else wants, but they want to be the one who gets it. You know, let me stop beating around the bush. You know, you got a beautiful young lady right here, and you got a beautiful less young lady right here. Now, the brother, I mean, you know, he, before he gets to hear them say a word, before he ever even gets to have a conversation, before he ever gets to know anything about their pedigree, he's looking at what his eyes see. And he's drawn many times to the thing that's beautiful to his eyes. Now, how many times have you had the experience where that looks the best ain't been the best? Because sometimes cute girls don't wash dishes and don't cook and they don't clean houses and they don't, you got to be a lot more useful than just looking good, baby. You know, you want a girl to be like mama, but you want her to look like Venus de Milo. You want her to look like Beyonce. Yeah, well, if you want her to look like Beyonce, you're going to have some Jay-Z money, because she ain't going to hang out with you without. Because if you've seen Jay-Z, Jay-Z had to have a lot of money. Somebody said money talks, and I'm going to leave that alone, because y'all shouting about the wrong things here. But it's by sight that we're moved. And everything that shines is not gold. Everything that looks good is not good for you. And you've got to learn to be a lot more profound deeper, real than just what the eyes see. Science and faith ran into each other one day. And science said, "Faith, I've been wanting to talk to you." Faith said, "Science, I've been wanting to talk to you too." Science said, "Faith, how is it that you can believe in something you can't see? You can't feel, you can't touch. How can you believe it's real without the presence of those tangible realities?" Science said, "You see, I'm not emotional. I'm not irrational. I'm not even religious. I'm a realist. I think 2 + 2 = 4. I think that there must be a formula for every situation, every matter under the earth. There's got to be some reason or rhyme, something that can be intelligible to the human mind to understand before it can be called real." Faith said, "Give me an example." Well, science said, "You see this garden?" He said, "I can name every plant in the garden." And he began to name all of the perennials and the, you know, the different flowers in the garden, etc. And when he got through naming all of those, Faith said, that's good. And they kept on walking, and they came to a large field. And in that field, science said, "I can name every tree in this field." And he started saying, "That's a fig tree, that's an oak tree, that's a myrtle tree, that's a this, that." Now, then he went on and named all of those trees in the field. They kept on walking, and they saw a big boulder right in front of them. And science said, "You see that big rock that's before us?" He said, "I can carbon date that rock and tell you how old it is and what it's made of." And Faith said, that's good. And they kept on walking, and they got to a large body of water. And science stopped in his track. And Faith said, "Keep on going, science." Science said, wait a minute. I don't know what's in the water. I don't know how deep the water is. I don't know the makeup of the water. I don't know all of the specifics that would let me know whether or not I can walk on the water or sink in the water." Faith said, "Step back. Let me lead you." Faith said, "When we started off, you wanted to prove that science was better because you knew the makeup, the origin, and the operation of things." He said, "While you were naming every flower that was there, you forgot too. The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley." He said, "And when we walked onto the field and you started naming all of the trees," he said, "you missed one tree, and that was the tree of life." He said, "When we came to the big rock, you told me about that rock, that you could tell me how old that rock was and what it was made of." He said, "But you didn't tell me nothing about the rock of ages." He said, "And now we got to this great body of water, and you can't walk on the water because you don't know what the makeup of it is and how it is configured and whether or not all that you are is able to withstand all that it is. So let me tell you how I work. Faith is the substance
of things